We're going to be in Acts chapter 8 today. I encourage you to grab a Bible and turn to Acts chapter 8. If you don't have your own, please grab one of the few Bibles in front of you and look up Acts chapter 8. We're continuing today in our sermon series that we're calling Spreading the Word. It's from the book of Acts. And as you may know already, up until Acts chapter 8, all the church's activity was centered in the city of Jerusalem. But then when the great persecution broke out, what happened? They scattered. They scattered all over, particularly over Judea and Samaria, the word says. And it forced those believers, every single believer except the apostles, it says, who stayed in Jerusalem, every single believer was spread out. And as they spread out physically, so also did the news about Jesus spread out. Because at the beginning of Acts chapter 8, it says, those who were scattered, everyone preached the word wherever they went. And in today's passage, that word continues to spread. And it spreads even to someone who lives beyond the borders of Israel. And here's the question as we talk about this spreading of the word today and this incredible story in Acts chapter 8. Here's the question I want you to be thinking about. What is most important in the work of spreading the good news of Jesus? What is most important in the work of spreading the good news of Jesus? With that in mind, let's turn now to God's holy word in Acts chapter 20 or chapter 8, starting in verse 26. Hear now God's holy word. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah 53. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God, thank you for your awesome word. And I pray right now that you would open our hearts and lives and minds to it, to what you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Make the words that I prepared to be your words for each one here, that it wouldn't just be more information, but we would experience your transformation, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. About 5 years ago, when Rebecca Joy was just a little four-year-old, there was a particular day that we had a bit of a power struggle together. Rebecca wanted to use the computer, and so did I. I had a project that I was working on and needed to get done, and she wanted to play a game. And when Rebecca came and asked me, as I was working on the computer already, if she could have a turn on the computer, I told her, "Yes, you can have a turn. You can have some screen time a little bit later when I'm done." The problem was that my answer didn't fit into Rebecca's schedule of activities for the day. She had other plans, and she felt like she needed to begin her time on the computer immediately. She was very upset, And so she began to throw a little bit of a fit. So in one of my less brilliant moments as a parent of a four-year-old who's in the middle of a fit, I tried to reason with her. And I said, "Now, Rebecca Joy, who is in charge of deciding when you get screen time?" And after no response, I said, "Daddy is in charge, right?" To which Rebecca very quickly responded, "No, Jesus is in charge." So I said, "Well, yes, you're right, but I have been crucified with Christ, and therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and you will have your screen time later." End of discussion. Here's the question: who's in charge in your house? Who's in charge of your everyday life? Who's making the call? Who's directing your steps? You see, when it comes to spreading the word, I believe that the most important question of all is related to that one. Who's in charge? And Philip shows us what it looks like when the Holy Spirit, given to us by Jesus, is in charge. Look back at verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord, a messenger from God, said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now, where was Philip when he heard this messenger? He was in Samaria. And where is Samaria compared to Jerusalem? It's north, right? Philip is north in Samaria. The angel wanted Philip to go south of Jerusalem on the road that led between Jerusalem and Gaza. And Gaza is the southernmost part of the Judean coast. So that was a long walk. This was no small potatoes ask of Philip. And as I think about that, it makes me wonder why God called on Philip, right? I mean, surely there were others who were closer to that area. Surely there were others who were not in the middle of a thriving new ministry in Samaria. But we don't know why God called on Philip. And Philip is given no reason why God wants him to go on that road. Did you catch that? Did you notice how the angel doesn't tell Philip why he should leave Samaria? He doesn't tell him why he wants him to go. He doesn't tell him what he wants him to do there. He simply says, "Go south, Philip." And that's why I love that next verse. Because it says, "So he," Philip, "started out." Just like Abram. Remember Abram, when God called Abram, and what did he tell them? He said, "Go to the land, I will show you." And Abram obeyed that, and he began his journey to go to the land that God would show him. Philip obeyed the message from the angel to go down to the road. He started out. He started walking. He started moving in the direction God wanted him to move before he had all the answers of what God was going to do or why God wanted him to go there. In church, sometimes God tells us to do things without a full explanation of why he wants us to do it. And it turns out, despite our objections to that, God isn't required to lay the whole plan out for us. When he, the God of the universe, the one who put the stars in place, the Lord of all creation, the one who sent his son to die for our sins and then rise again to lead us forward in mission, when he tells us to move, we should move. And that's what Philip did. He started out. And God worked through him as he moved. Look at the rest of that verse 27. It says, on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So once Philip got down there, and that was a long way, many miles. Once he got down to the desert road, God brought an Ethiopian into his path. And he wasn't just any Ethiopian, was he? He was an influential person in the Ethiopian government. It says he was an important official in charge of all the treasury. Does that sound important? I bet it's important to you, whoever's in charge of all your treasury. It was important. He was an important position and person. And like all men who served in the queen's court, he paid a very high price for that position, didn't he? He was a eunuch. That price, though, one isn't just about his career. That price also would have kept him from fully entering into worship when he was in Jerusalem. See, Deuteronomy 23:1 says, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." So we don't know for sure if this man was a Jew whose family had fled to Africa in the first diaspora, or if he was a Jewish convert, or if he was just a God-fearing seeker come to Jerusalem to explore faith in God. Certainly, Luke, the author of Acts, doesn't make a big deal about him being the first Gentile convert. That comes later in the chapters to come. So I think it's likely that he is either a Jew living in Ethiopia or a convert. But either way, because he was a eunuch, because he had paid that price for his career, he wouldn't have been able to fully participate in the Jerusalem worship. But that all was about to change because of the divine appointment that God had set up with him and Philip. Look at verse 29. Once Philip is there and he sees this chariot with its attendees and this important person in it, the Spirit tells Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Again, there's no explanation here by the Spirit of why he wants Philip to stay near the chariot, is there? He doesn't say, "See the man on the chariot? I want you to go tell him about Jesus." No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "See the man in the chariot or the man driving the chariot or whatever. He needs to be healed. I want you to go and pray for his healing." He simply says, "Go over to that chariot and stay near it." And so what does Philip do? Yes, he ran over to the chariot and stayed near it. Now, how do you stay next to a chariot? You start running, right? So imagine this. Philip sees the chariot. God says, "Run over and stay near it." So he runs over there. Now he's staying next to the chariot. He's running along. And he hears the guy reading from the prophet Isaiah. Whew. And I wonder if that's the point when it like clicked for Philip, right? Like, "Oh, now I know why I'm down here. This guy's reading from Isaiah. Like, this is an opportunity that the Lord has given me." So he asks a great question about the context of the situation in which he observes the man. He notices that he's reading from Isaiah, and so he says, when he catches his breath, "Hey, do you understand what you're reading?" And because of that question, the Ethiopian invites him to come up and sit with him, which was nice because he and I were both tired of running next to the chariot. And once he was invited in, see that? He asked a question. He got invited in. Once he got invited in, the Ethiopian asks him a question. A question about the passage that he was reading in Isaiah. And that question provides an incredible opportunity for Philip. It provides an open door given to him just like a gift. We would call it a softball, right? Just right there, ready for him to hit it out of the park. And so in verse 35, it says, he began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And it's obvious that God had been preparing this man's heart. It's obvious that the man's heart was open and ready, because after that, it says, when they saw some water, something that I'm sure was not abundant on the desert road, he asked to be baptized. And so they stopped the chariot. And in front of all the attendees that were with him, they jumped out. They got down into that water together. And Philip baptized that new Ethiopian believer and brother in Christ. Praise God. And now the man who had been excluded from the assembly of God was experiencing the full inclusion found only in Christ's amazing grace. And after Philip left him, It says that he went on his way, rejoicing, continued on his path towards Ethiopia, rejoicing because of his newfound faith in Christ Jesus as the one and only Messiah who came from the Father full of grace and truth, but then and showed us the way to truly live, but then was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as the Isaiah verse says, and died for our sins, but then rose again on the third day to reign forever as that one and only Son of God. The Ethiopian was rejoicing because he was now forgiven and redeemed. And we assume that he also was full of the Holy Spirit. He was rejoicing and rejoicing because of the incredible work of the Holy Spirit to arrange a divine appointment with Philip. Someone who could explain it to him. Have you ever had one of those moments when somebody shows up at just the right time to take care of the particular need that you have? The Ethiopian rejoiced because of the incredible work of the Holy Spirit to bring Philip, someone who could explain that verse to him. You see, it might be easy for us to look at this passage and give all kinds of credit to Philip, right? I mean, Philip did the talking. Philip did the explaining. Philip did the baptizing. Those are important. But who got him there? Who told him to run alongside the chariot? Who gave him the words to say? Who opened the heart of the Ethiopian to Christ? Who filled the Ethiopian with faith? Who gave him the joy of his newfound faith? All of those were the work of the Holy Spirit. This was the Holy Spirit's work more than it was Philip's work, and certainly more than it was the Ethiopian's work. That's why this book is called Acts, Acts of the Holy Spirit. And that's why our passage reminds us so clearly about the most important thing when it comes to spreading the word. The most important thing is to follow the Spirit's lead. It's to let him be in charge. And Philip shows us the perfect example. When the messenger tells him to go south to the desert road, Philip goes. When the Spirit tells him to run up to the chariot and stay with it, Philip runs. When Philip recognizes that the man in the chariot is reading from Isaiah, he considers it a divine opportunity. And then he simply asks a question. The most important thing about spreading the word, the most important thing about evangelism, is to follow the Spirit's lead. It's about obedience. It's about going when the Spirit says go. It's about running up to the chariot when the Spirit says run. It's about speaking when the Spirit says speak. And it's about trusting the Spirit with the results. You see, so often we get caught up in the things that are less important. We think when it comes to spreading the word that we have to have every answer to every most difficult question in the world. We think we have to have a cool testimony that we can share. We think we have to be a gifted evangelist. And there's nothing wrong with any of those cool things, but they're not most important. Most important thing in spreading the word is to follow the Spirit's lead. It's about obedience. And not just big picture obedience that recognizes every Christian is called to share the good news of Christ Jesus with others. Philip was already living in that mindset. He had already surrendered himself to the mission of God. But he demonstrates here that everyday, in the moment, obedience of following the Spirit's lead in the moment. You see, some of us get promptings from the Holy Spirit that we purposely ignore. Have you ever done that? I have. I come up with all kinds of excuses for God. Like, I'm too tired. I don't have time. Or one of my all-time bests, I can't do that, Lord. I'm praying right now. Philip demonstrates in these verses how simple obedience to follow the Spirit's lead puts us in a place to be used by God in a powerful way for the spreading of His word. Are you being obedient to follow the Spirit's lead? Because if you are, I believe He will use you in similar ways that He used Philip. If you're truly following His lead, He will put you in a place where He can use you with those around you, put you alongside other people, where He can speak in you and through you as you follow His lead. But there may be some of us here who feel like we never hear a prompting from the Holy Spirit. When I say that, you're kind of like, I don't get that at all. What do you mean? And I would say that if that's you, I invite you, if you are a follower of Christ, to take these last days of these 21 days of prayer and of fasting very seriously. And I would encourage you to use it as a time when you ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up in such a way that you recognize His work. Because we believe He is at work. And He is inviting us to be a part of it. And there's nothing like being a part of it, is there? One of the most powerful moments in my teenage life was when I felt the Holy Spirit's prompting. And on that day, I obeyed it. I was on a spring break mission trip to Mexico with my church. It was when I was 15, my sophomore year of high school. And we were running that week a vacation Bible school with a local church in Ensenada. And on the third or fourth day, you know, we were kind of starting to wind up the week. While I was up there leading the songs for the kids, there was a junior high age boy who walked in the back of the small sanctuary where we were meeting and stood in the back. I hadn't ever seen him before. I didn't know who he was. And he just stood back there and kind of observed during the whole time together when we told the story for the day and gave the lesson and sang some more songs and had a good time. And then all the kids left to go to their next activity, and I was left in the room alone for a moment to put my guitar away and get things ready for the next session. And I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to go talk to that boy who came in the back. And I didn't want to. I was tired. I figured someone else was already talking to him. He wasn't in the room anymore. He had gone outside. I figured he's covered. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me shake it off. And so I obeyed. I went out and I found him and I said hi and I introduced myself and I asked for his name. His name was Guillermo. And I asked him some more questions. Remember, I was only in Spanish 2 at the time, so the conversation stayed about that level. And I hadn't seen him because he had just come to visit his grandma. And when he was there and he heard the noise down the street at the church, he came down to check it out. And he asked what we were doing and why we were there. And I did my best to explain it to him. And in the midst of that conversation, I felt the Lord wanted me to ask him another question. I felt like the Lord wanted me to ask Guillermo if he knew Jesus, if he was a Christian. I hesitated. But then I figured since I was on a mission trip, I should act like a missionary. And so I asked him, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you a follower of Jesus? And that question led to a conversation that went way beyond Spanish 2. I had to get an interpreter to come and to help out. Turns out that Guillermo didn't know about the Lord. But on that day, by God's grace, I had the incredible privilege of introducing him to the good news of Jesus. And then the incredible privilege of leading him in a prayer to give his life to following Christ. It was a transformational moment for Guillermo and for me. He came in the back door as a stranger. He left as a Christian brother. And I've never seen him since. Beloved, there was nothing remarkable about what I did that day. Believe me. Remember? Spanish 2. I simply followed the Spirit's lead in that moment. And He compelled me into the right spot. He put the right questions in my head, the right words on my mouth. He gathered the right interpreter to come and participate. He did that. And if I can do that, I know that you can as well. Because the fact is that the Holy Spirit is at work in the mission of God. He is relentless in that work. And for you who have put your faith in Christ, the Spirit wants to include you also in that work. It's not just for other people, church. It's for you. Don't you also want to be included in that? Don't you want to see hundreds more like Guillermo in your life? Don't get so caught up in the techniques or the apologetics or the right timing that you miss the Spirit's prompting. Follow His lead. It's about obedience. Let Him be in charge, and He will use you and us to advance His kingdom and to spread His word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for the way that You were at work. And some of us, Lord, we grew up in the church. We grew up hearing the stories and knowing and always believing in You and coming to faith at some point when we said, yes, this is my faith in Christ, not just the faith of my parents. Others of us were just like that Ethiopian who You appointed someone at just the right time to come into our lives, to share the good news, and to lead us to Christ. God, we thank You for that. Every single one of us came to faith because someone spoke the word, the gospel to us. We thank You for those people that You put in our lives to share with us. And God, I believe that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That means that there are many, just like the Ethiopian, who are ready to hear. They are persons of peace, open to hearing about the gospel. Not everybody is, but I believe that there are many. And I pray that You would help us to be obedient to You, Holy Spirit, in the moments of our life, in the everyday coming and going times of our life, when we're shopping, when we're working, when we're walking, when we're studying, when we're playing, whatever we're doing, that we would listen for Your Spirit and our eyes would be open to what You're doing, and that we would jump in with You in that work that You're doing obediently. Help us to follow the lead of Your Spirit. And I pray very specifically, God, for this week. I pray that for every person who is a follower of Christ here, that this week You will prompt them by Your Spirit in a situation where they can give a blessing, where they can share the truth about Christ, where they can speak life to another person, where they can bring encouragement, where they can be used by You to minister to others the good news of Jesus at just the right time as they follow Your lead. And help them, when that happens, to recognize it as a work of Your Spirit and as an opportunity to be obedient to You. Use everyone here, Lord, young and old, not for our glory, but God, we want to be a part of what You are doing. We don't want to miss out. So come, Holy Spirit, and do that in us this week. Increase our faith. Increase our awareness of Your presence. And grow us in Christ and in His mission, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen and amen. Would you stand, church, and invite you to receive this blessing from the Lord? For those of you who have been here all morning for various reasons, I'm so glad you stuck around and were a part of the meeting and came to worship. For every one of us who is a follower of Christ, He has a great call on our lives to participate in what He's doing. May we be people who go and follow His lead. I invite you now to receive this blessing from Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace as you follow his lead today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, Amen. God bless you.